Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our second quarter 2014 conference call. In the room today, we've got the entire Peyto management team. So we've got Scott Robinson, our Chief Operating Officer, with us, Kathy Turgeon, our CFO, Dave Thomas, our VP Exploration, JP Lachance, our VP Exploitation, Tim Louie, our VP Land, and of course, we've got Jim Grant, our Investor Awareness Representative, with us too, who's got a big list of questions. So, Jim, why don't you start it off?
Okay, for those of you who are new to our conference calls, we hold the first half as a question and answer session where I ask some of the senior management questions about Peyto and its latest financials before we turn the call over to questions from investors and representatives of investment businesses. Darren, we headlined the fact that we have just spud our 1,000th well and noted that it is right near the first from 15 years ago. We continue to boast a larger and larger inventory of drilling prospects. How do we manage to find so much in one area, and how do we do it without huge inventories of lands that some of our peers seem to amass in more disparate areas?
Well, Jim, you know, there's no question that our Sundance area, I think, has turned into one of the premier fields, the premier natural gas areas in the province. I was here back in 2001, and you kind of have to wonder, is it such a premier area because it was always going to be one of those, or was it because we made it one of those because we continued to focus on that same area for 15 years now? I think it's the latter, and that's, I think, one of the reasons that Peyto's so successful with our strategy is that we don't just gloss over an area, we don't just do what we see there today and then move on. We continue to dig around and focus on those same areas for new opportunities over and over and over again, year in and year out. And it's in, you know, those same areas that we have the strategic control and the infrastructure that we've built out that really helps you when you're trying to make the most of every last opportunity. So, you know, I don't think we should be surprised that we continue to find more and more opportunities in all of our core areas of focus, because we really don't give up on them, which is keep digging and keep looking. But I think, too, the other main reason that our land base continues to yield so many opportunities is that we didn't acquire it with the hope that we were going to find something there. You know, we've got Dave and JP and all of the technical team at Peyto. They do a lot of work identifying the real drilling opportunities long before we ever own the land. So that when we buy it, it's already full of opportunities that we've identified. And I think that's one of the reasons that Peyto's land base doesn't have to be as risked as a lot of people's land bases do, because, you know, we've already done all this technical work to de-risk it. You know, it is amazing, though, because whenever I look back at what we've developed, there usually ends up being a lot more there than even we ever thought there was. I mean, I don't think we ever envisioned there was going to be 1,000 locations to drill on the land base that we've got today. It's pretty cool, though. There's not a lot of companies in the industry that have drilled that many wells over the last 15 years in the Deep Basin. I think we're the fourth most active driller behind companies like Conoco and Encana and CNRL, which is pretty lofty company, I think, for us, especially considering that we've only got 46 people here at Peyto, and that's probably less people than those companies have in their IT departments.
Turning to JP Lachance, our VP of Exploitation. JP, our Q2 activity levels were very high compared to the past years. We've commented that we conducted a very active program right through breakup this year. Can you provide some details on where that activity was directed and whether the results of this activity have met our expectations? Are those wells now on stream and contributing to our production level?
Thanks, Jim. Yes, we certainly had a more active Q2 this year compared to last year. Most of Peyto's 31 wells drilled during the quarter focused on the greater Sundance area, where we took advantage of our existing infrastructure to drill through breakup. The majority of the wells were drilled in the Wilrich and Flare formations. Initial production performance of that Q2 program as a whole has exceeded our expectations, and as a group is now adding 23,000 BOEs per day to our current production. Costs for that Q2 drilling program were lower than historical averages, despite working through breakup, averaging $4.5 million per well to drill, complete, equip, and tie in. all but two of those 31 wells drilled in the quarter are now tied in and contributing to our current record production levels, which is consistent with our focus on quick cycle time. The two wells that remain to bring on were spud at the end of June. One of those wells is in Brazeau and is expected to be on stream later this week, while the other, it's on a pad in Sundance waiting for the second well on that pad to be finished drilling. So all in all, the Q2 drilling program through breakup has more than met our expectations.
Okay. Turning to Scott Robinson, our COO and VP of Operations. Scott, our Q2 production level was up slightly over the quarter before. We commented on various instances of downtime and outages that impeded our production levels. We've also commented about the recent surge in production. Can you provide some more color on the impact and magnitude of those Q2 outages? As well, how is the reduction of that downtime combined with recent well activity impacting our current production level?
Yeah, sure, Jim. During the quarter, we lost about 800 barrels a day to various factors, largely out of our control. Some of them may be common to other companies out there. Nova TransCanada, the provincial gathering system, had some hiccups, had some maintenance, and that cost us some downtime as well. There was a big windstorm in May that knocked out power. So those factors that were kind of beyond our control did serve a bit of an obstacle for our production, but we did come out of the quarter very well, achieving a slight growth quarter over quarter. What's really exciting is what's happened here recently, having gotten past some of those external outage issues and having realized some of the growth that JP just spoke of. We've seen our monthly production, as we stated, grow from an April level of about 71,500 up to just below 75,000 in July, and then most recently here in August, we're up to just above 78,000. So those are some pretty big steps, you know, reflective of the success that we've been having of late here. So we're very excited about that, and we're very optimistic for a continuation of that through the third quarter and the rest of the year here.
Okay. Turning to Kathy Turgeon, our CFO and VP of Finance. Kathy, we've seen an increase in royalties in Q2 this year over the same period last year, and a smaller increase over the Q1 numbers this year. Now, we enjoy a great deal of benefit from royalty holidays on new wells that qualify for deep drilling credits. However, royalty rates are dependent on other factors, and the mature production that we have no longer benefits from any royalty holiday. Can you give us some color on what has increased our royalties and what we can anticipate for royalties going forward?
Well, Jim, over Peyto's 15 years of operation in the Alberta Deep Basin, we've paid over $700 million in royalty payments. Under the current royalty regime, we're assessed a 5% royalty for the first 18 months of production, up to a maximum of 500 million cubic feet cumulative production. After that, any deep gas drilling royalty holiday available is applied to keep the royalty rate at 5% until the benefit is exhausted or the well's been on production for 5 years, whichever comes first. So a large part of our production is at the 5% rate. Some older production, primarily liquids, is at a slightly higher rate, and we also have to pay some gross overriding royalties. This gives us an overall royalty rate of about 7-8%. The recent increase in our royalty expense for MCFE is strictly based on the increased commodity price for gas, and we have actually not experienced an increase on a percentage basis. So we expect that we'll continue to pay royalties at the 7-8% of unhedged revenue for the foreseeable future.
Okay. Scott, can you also give us some color on the evolution of our operating costs? We note that our operating costs dropped quarter over quarter. What were the main causes for this decrease, and do we expect this level of operating costs to be sustained?
Jim, yeah, as I think everyone knows, operating costs is a primary focus for Peyto and one of our strengths, so it's important to us, but I won't spend a lot of time on it here. First quarter, we were about 234 a BOE, and we knocked 20 cents off of that coming into the second quarter. So we came in at 214. That's field level costs. We did allude to that decrease in our first quarter announcement. We had a cold winter. Our methanol consumption was up. We had some outage issues in the first quarter that caused or that created the opportunity to take advantage of getting some maintenance out of the way. So as we moved into the second quarter, the weather warmed up, our methanol consumption dropped 70% by volume quarter over quarter. And furthermore, because we had taken care of some maintenance in advance, our maintenance costs dropped quarter over quarter by 30%. So those were the primary drivers. The pool power price also fell about 30% during the second quarter as compared to the first quarter. So those three items allowed us to knock that 20 cents off. We're still within our historical range, and you know, it's something that we're going to always continue to focus on, keeping that cost down and trying to be the best there is at bringing product to the market.
Okay. Turning to Tim Louie, our VP of Land. Tim, we report that we spent $5.9 million on land in the second quarter and that the investment included 11 sections of step-out Sundance acreage with over 30 identified prospects on it. What rights did we pick up for these lands, and when can we expect to see the first wells drilled on these new lands?
Thanks, Jim. The lands that we acquired were a combination of rights to the base of the Spirit River and to the base of the Blue Sky Bullhead. Prospective targets include the Nauticuan, Falher, Wilrich, and Blue Sky. With regards to locations on these lands, we anticipate drilling the first set of wells during the third quarter of 2015. As we have demonstrated on a consistent basis, Peyto is able to quickly and efficiently convert undeveloped lands into producing assets. And lastly, I will mention that over the first half of 2014, we have spent $8.7 million to acquire 29 sections.
Okay. Darren, besides just drilling our 1,000th well, we have during and since Q1 continued our business model, and our news release speaks to maintaining the same capital efficiencies that we have for the last few years. This topic is one you often mention in one way or another in your monthly president's report. Why is this so important to how we do business, and where do you see this going as we evolve?
Yeah, I know, Jim, I tend to talk a lot about that capital efficiency metric or the cost to add new production. Probably too much, really, considering I don't think it's a very good metric when it comes to measuring profitability. But when we're modeling our growth and where we might be with our capital program, it's sort of a valuable tool in trying to project where we're going to go with our capital. And I think it's really important then to look at our track record and, you know, what it really has been costing us. You know, it seems like there's a lot of companies out there that project their capital programs and where they're going to take them, and yet they want investors to pay up for a lot of that growth, and yet they don't really have any kind of track record or evidence that they can accomplish those kind of metrics going forward. You know, whereas in our case, I think we've got pretty clear evidence that doing more of the same at the same costs is going to get us where we want to go, is going to get us the growth that we think we're going to be able to get. And so I think it's a reasonable assumption then that, you know, $625 million of capital, 18,000 of flowing BOE, we know what that's going to build us. But sadly, I don't think there's a lot of differentiation between companies like Peyto that have a very strong track record of delivering that kind of capital efficiency and then those guys out there that obviously don't. You know, hopefully, I think we can continue to deliver on that same capital efficiency metric, assuming we have the same kind of market conditions out in front of us. And, you know, to be honest, I think we might be able to even grind them down a little bit. I think that's one of the things that perhaps longer horizontal laterals can really do for us. It would mean us being able to deploy more and more capital using the same number of rigs, using the same amount of staff, which ultimately results in us continuing to grow at this same sort of 30% per year rate, even though we're getting bigger and bigger every year. So we're sort of overcoming that hurdle, that law of large numbers sort of hurdle that a lot of companies bump into with continued improvement in efficiency.
Mm-hmm. So turning to Dave Thomas, our VP of Exploration. Dave, we've recently commenced a drilling program down on our Brazeau acreage block with one rig working now, with another soon to join this September or October. Roughly how many wells do we anticipate drilling over the balance of 2014 in Brazeau, and what main areas of the block will we be drilling and what zones will be targeted?
Jim, this July we started up one rig in North Brazeau near our new gas plant. And in early September we'll start up a rig in South Brazeau. Collectively, between the two rigs, we should be able to achieve about 12 more spuds from July to December. We planned 9 Wilrich wells, 2 middle Falhers, and 1 lower Falher to get us to the end of the year. Our first Wilrich well of this program at 13-6, 44-12, West 5, has already been drilled and tested, and it looks to be the best result we've had so far in the North Brazeau area. Down in South Brazeau, as you may recall, we drilled and tested an excellent Wilrich well in 2-1. And we've timed the additional drilling down there to coincide with the completion of our new pipeline. Looking into 2015, and assuming continued success, we plan to keep both those rigs drilling at Brazeau, and we could add a third rig. Spring breakup is a reality in this area, so expectations would be for 9 to 10 wells per rig per year, so potentially 20 to 30 wells down there in 2015. And lots of running room beyond that. We have over 110 sections of land at Brazeau and over 300 internally identified Spirit River drilling locations.
Okay. So, JP, following up on Dave's comments on Brazeau, can you update us on the wells we have drilled there so far and how they're performing? Can you also provide some details on the cost performance of the various facets for these wells and how we're doing cost-wise in the Brazeau area?
Jim, we've got four Wilrich wells in Braz that have some longer-term production history at this point. Their profiles have behaved very similar to wells in Sundance, where on average they come on at or above 4 million a day and decline to just over 1 million a day after 1 year. We expect the ultimate reserves on these wells will exceed 3 BCF, which is consistent with our type curves. Drill costs have been a challenge, as with any new area, but we've made significant progress so far. From our first well drilled back using a broker back in 2011, which cost over $5 million, to our most recent 13-6 well that Dave mentioned, which came in around $2.7 million. This is more in line with our greater Sundance area. Completions have not been without their challenges too. We've had a few mechanical problems which have driven up costs. But as with drilling, we're learning the area, and the most recent well completion cost is expected to come in around $1.7 million. So with the potential of cost and production performance like Sundance, we are eager to demonstrate the repeatability of these results and continue to develop that large inventory that Dave described.
Okay, so Scott, with the activity that has occurred and that which is envisaged for Brazeau, what facility and infrastructure plans do we have to accommodate the production growth in Brazeau?
Joe, we're sitting pretty good right now with the cornerstone of our infrastructures is this gas plant that we built at the end of last year. And it's sitting there. Its processing capacity is about 50 million cubic feet a day. We have compression to the degree of about 30 million cubic feet a day, but we've got plans to bring in additional compression and step that up towards that 50 as the year progresses here. The facility is, of course, like all of our other facilities, it's easily expandable, and we've got, you know, ideas in place to take it well beyond 100 million cubic feet a day as the property grows, assuming that we continue to enjoy success there. The plant has a few key gathering lines that already exist that extend out in three directions to our current and our future activity. And in addition, we mentioned that we're building a very significant 10-inch diameter, 23-kilometer line down to gather gas from South Brazeau, where we've got a really nice well sitting waiting to come on stream. That line is in progress. We've cleared the right-of-way for the most entire extent of that route, and we're expecting that line to be on stream here by October. So, you know, we're very excited, and I think we're positioned excellent for these opportunities the guys were talking about.
Okay. Tim, with the price volatility that we've seen in natural gas prices, how has the industry been reacting at land sales? Has the latest softening of prices made any differences? And given that we are more active than many of our peers, are we seeing opportunities outside of the land sales as other companies react to pricing and try to manage their undeveloped assets?
Jim, the answer to the first part of your question may be surprising.
From what we have seen, the recent softening in natural gas prices
has not dampened industry bid levels at this year's land sales. During the first quarter conference call, I mentioned that we are seeing a trend towards higher average prices being paid at this year's land sales. This trend has continued through the second quarter and into the third. If you look at the land sales from the beginning of this year to last week's August 6th sale, compare these figures against the same period from 2013,
The total amount of acres posted this year is down by almost 60%, and the total bonus paid is down by 40%. However, here is interesting. The average price paid per acre has increased by almost 50%. And this increase is even more evident in the northern region, which is where the majority of Peyto's land holdings are situated. In the northern region, the average price per acre has increased by more than 80% versus the same period in 2013. Although some of the higher prices are being paid on parcels that contain deeper rights, such as the Montney or Duvernay, we are also seeing higher prices being paid on parcels that only encompass the shallower Cretaceous rights. And I'll give you one example here. At a recent sale within one of our core areas, Peyto placed bids on certain parcels. We thought we would be competitive given the technical merits of the prospect and the historical prices in the area. And we were surprised when the winning bids went for more than 8 times what we had bid. Obviously, we were disappointed when we did not acquire the lands. However, as with any land sale evaluation, our bids are always based upon our geological and geophysical interpretation, economics, and historical prices. And as I've mentioned in prior conference calls, Peyto will remain disciplined in its approach to land sale acquisitions. We'll always try to acquire lands at prices where we can profitably add production and reserves. With regards to the second part of your question, I wouldn't say that the softening of natural gas prices has been an impetus for other companies to divest of their undeveloped assets. Peyto is still actively negotiating purchase and farming deals on prospective lands within our core areas. However, in many instances, companies are hesitant to divest of their interests when their lands are continued. So in other words, when there are no expiry issues. In specific situations, we are starting to utilize a different approach by offering very favorable farming terms. This may seem counterintuitive in light of current natural gas prices. However, with the recent softening of the prices, some of these companies may not be able to fund or justify the drilling of their own locations at this time. In contrast, Peyto is able to offer attractive farming terms, yet we are still able to meet our economic hurdles because of our efficient cost structure and ownership of nearby facilities.
Okay. Dave, we still have 4.5 months of activity ahead of us until the end of 2014. How are we situated with our drilling plans? What main areas and targets will we be pursuing for the balance of the year?
Jim, we have 9 rigs currently drilling, and after they finish the locations they're on now, there should be enough time to drill an additional 5 wells on each rig for a total of about 45 more wells to round out 2014. Apart from Brazeau, which we've already talked about, we'll continue drilling mostly Wilrich, Notikewin, Falher, and Blue Sky wells at Sundance, Ansel, Edson, and Pedley. A couple of more Cardium wells at Ansel will also sneak into that mix. 2 brand new areas that we plan to drill are in Minehead and North Kakwa. At Minehead, we plan to test the Notikewin, and at North Kakwa, we plan to drill 2 higher-risk wells to test Falher and Kadot targets. We may also deepen one of those wells to take a look at the Montney.
Okay. Darren, we added another small slice of financing that, under our relatively new relationship with our banking syndicate, both locks in current rates for another part of our debt over the longer term and offers us continued flexibility as our credit lines are effectively expanded. As Peyto looks forward to making plans for this winter and beyond, how flexible can we be to meet our future opportunities?
Well, Jim, I think we're in a pretty enviable position. You know, we've had growing production, and as a result then we've got growing cash flows. You know, that sets us up really well to fund ever larger capital program. We've got lots of room in terms of our borrowing capacity, and as our recent deal showed us, the cost of that capital is actually really cheap, 3.79%, some of the lowest cost capital that we've seen. I think we're set up really well, and because we're generating profitable growth, we're growing our earnings, which obviously that's where the dividends come from. And so over the last few years, we've been able to increase our dividend as well as those grow. And really, when we look out into the future right now, we see a very flat forward curve when it comes to the future natural gas prices. You know, we're not expecting that we're going to be getting some big windfall from a commodity perspective. All of the growth in terms of our financial capacity and in terms of the profitability of the company is coming out of our own efforts, which is the production growth that we're delivering. So I think we're set up extremely well when it comes to continuing this run that we've been on for the last 4 years going out into the future. And I think the environment as it's laid out in front of us is just more of the same. So, you know, I'm very excited about a lot of these opportunities that the guys have talked about today, because I just don't see us having to compete in an industry that's more flush with cash, that can create a more competitive cost environment for us. That we're just looking at more of the same, I think, as we look out for the next few years. So, you know, that's exciting when it comes to what we've been able to do, levering off our low-cost advantage here at Peyto.
Okay, so that's the end of the questions that I had. Mark, I'd like to turn the call over now to questions from investors and representatives of investment businesses.
Our first question is from Steve Toth from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Congrats on the quarter. We noticed that you've depleted a bit of your CE tax pools year to date. Just wondering if you could give us a sense of what your internal modeling suggests in terms of cash taxability over the next couple of years.
It's a good question, Steve. It's sometimes a tough question to answer, obviously, because we've got to make an assumption on commodity prices and an assumption on what kind of capital programs we're going to have. But, you know, if we modeled out the next few years, assuming that we have some growing capital programs, flat commodity prices, and then we're achieving the same kind of success that we have over the last 4 years, I think we're probably going to start to see taxes creep into our financials in 2016 and beyond. You know, and I think we're going to feel a lot better about paying taxes in 2016 than we would have felt about paying taxes in 2003 when we converted to a trust, because the tax rate is significantly down from where it was back then. I think we're 25% today versus 47% back then. So, you know, obviously it's a little more palatable to pay cash taxes. And ultimately, we've been so successful. You know, here we are 15 years later at Peyto. We've drilled 1,000 wells in the Deep Basin, and I think we officially called one of those 1,000 wells a dry hole. So it's pretty tough to earn a lot of write-offs when you're not all you're having is success. But, I think probably 2016 is the first real sort of taxability that we're going to start to see. And as you know, Steve, the only way really to stave that off, if you will, is to have is to put more capital to work. But I'm not saying that we can't do that. We've definitely grown our capital programs substantially over the last few years. You know, one of the options we'll have is obviously, if the environment is right, keep the pedal to the metal and keep putting more and more capital to work.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Fly Lee from Odlum Brown. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Darren, I was just wondering if you had to put a reasonable range around exit production, where would you put the guidance of 81,500 within that range?
I think right now I'd put it at the bottom of the range. Obviously, if we were already touching 80, having averaged 78.5 for the first half of this month, you know, we've had some days as high as 80, then 81.5 is not very far away, especially when we've got, you know, all this production on the come here at Braz. We've got this Big South pipeline to build that should connect a bunch of wells that we're drilling down there. Now, assuming we're having success, obviously, with those wells, but the Braz plant is nice in that we've got a lot of room in it. We're not going to see much back out. We tend to, obviously, when we bring new strong wells on, we tend to see a little bit of back out of some of our old wells temporarily. So in an area like Braz, where we've got lots of capacity, we don't have to worry about that issue as much. And, you know, we've got a lot of drilling left to do, as Dave talked about. You know, I think we've got 45 more wells to drill before the end of the year. So that's a lot of potential production to bring on to the end of the year. So it's great. I mean, this was the whole goal, I think, of drilling through breakup, was to get ahead in 2014 in the event that we saw some concern with respect to costs and activity levels towards the end of the year. I think with gas prices cooling off, it takes a little bit of that pressure away. So now we're ahead of the game, and you know, maybe we can look to even exceeding both capital and production guidance by the end of the year.
Okay, and if 81.5 is at the bottom end of that range, where would the midpoint be about?
Well, you know, I think we haven't increased guidance officially because we're still wanting to see some of that drilling activity. You know, I still want to see a little bit about where gas prices go into the fall. And I think we want to flesh out a little bit of where we're going to be in 2015 and how active we want to be with our winter drilling program, how that sets us up. So, you know, I think we're sort of holding off any kind of potential change in guidance till maybe September, October, till we've had a chance to look at that a little more closely.
All right, fair enough. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 for any questions. Our next question is from Travis Wood from TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hey guys, you may have already touched on this. I joined a little late. I just wanted to get some color on how you're thinking about, you know, the industry trend seems to be pushing lateral length longer, irrespective of which play. So are you testing that specifically in your deep basin, and are you starting to see positive or negative response, if any? Thank you.
You go ahead. I was trying to get Scott to talk about Travis, but he's been all quiet this morning. So obviously we have been pushing lateral length, you know, as evidenced. We put some numbers in the last quarter and the year-end release showing how our average well horizontal lateral length is growing over time. But, you know, and I think as Dave could allude to, we can't do it everywhere. Obviously, lands have to be contiguous for us to push beyond one section. And we have to have very good understanding and confidence in the geology. You know, you're threading a needle up to a couple of miles, and so you really want to have confidence in what the structures are doing and where the sand is and where you want to be with that horizontal lateral. And I think the last consideration is that as we get longer and longer, we know the risk increases of some kind of operational problem. And, it gets pretty hard to push a rope or pull from that far away if you do run into problems, if you do get stuck at the bit, or then you're starting to cost you more and more, and that risk tends to creep up over time. And we've seen it as much as everybody's seen it in the industry. But at the same time, we're encouraged, right? Because as we can go longer and longer, we get to contact more and more reservoir in every wellbore. And when you're, you know, if we could double the amount of reservoir that we could contact in 100 wells, well then, you know, maybe we're not totally doubling the amount of production and reserves we're capturing, but the efficiencies are increased a lot, and it's still just 100 wells that we have to drill, and we've shown obviously that we can do that at Peyto. So it means us taking more and more capital and putting it to work, developing more and more resource with the same human resources that we have here. So, you know, we're gonna keep kind of pushing on that envelope, but you know us at Peyto, we're extremely low risk, and we don't want to jeopardize the returns that we can make developing these resources just to try and say that we're doing it with longer horizontal laterals. That's not the point. The point is not, you know, the technology. The point is not to say that we can drill some big long well. The point is not even really to say that we can get some great big IP out of these longer horizontal laterals. That the point at the end of the day is to make more money. And so how do we best do that? And if we can do it with longer laterals, then we will. But if it jeopardizes us making more money, then we won't. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, that's good enough. Thanks.
You bet.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time, Mr. G.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Realize this is a very busy week for reporting. Lots of companies reporting today and yesterday and all this week. So I'm sure the industry is spread pretty thin trying to incorporate all of those results. But appreciate everybody listening in. You know, lastly, I just want to throw one shout-out to the Peyto team. Great big thank you to their efforts. Nobody really had a break during breakup this year, so everybody was powering hard right through second quarter. And we really appreciate everybody, keeping the pedal to the metal here, because I think it's put us in a fantastic position in 2014 to put up an extremely strong year, which we're midway doing. And I think we're going to have a real fantastic finish to the end of 2014. So we'll be back to you in November with more of those results. So hopefully you'll tune in then. Thanks.